pray. Lord God, hear us. Help us to hear you. Amen. One of the things that visitors take note of when they come to the campus of ILC is the love that they can see among the students. Visitors, including people who are not members of the CLC, have actually told me such things. It reminds me of something that Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Last October, I spoke to you about love. I defined it as an attitude of the mind and heart, an attitude that causes us to actively reach outside of ourselves in order to satisfy the needs of others. Love looks outward, not inward. Love regards everyone else as being greater treasure than ourselves. Today, I want to talk to you about an attitude which is at the opposite end of the spectrum. Hate. The very word makes a person cringe. Hate. Yet not all hatred is wrong. The psalmist tells us, "You who love the Lord, hate evil." Concerning Jesus, the prophet said, "You love righteousness and hate wickedness." However, there are some very strong words spoken against hatred. If anyone practices, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So what is hatred? People think of hate and love as feelings. Certainly there are feelings that are connected with these attitudes. But we should not make the mistake of identifying the attitude with the feeling. At any given time, and for whatever reason, love may produce a feeling of euphoria, while at another time it may produce a feeling of sorrow. So are we going to acknowledge the existence of love only if there's a feeling of euphoria? What about our feelings at the death of a loved one? At such a time, we may be very sad, depressed. And love is the cause of the sadness. By the same token, hatred should not be defined by the feelings that it produces. Someone can be guilty of hatred and yet have pretty much no feeling, neutral feeling. Not all hate is accompanied by feelings of disgust and loathing and nausea or what have you. Looking at someone who is in need and simply not caring, you don't despise, you don't loathe that person. You just don't care. That's hatred. It is hateful not to care whether a starving child gets food or doesn't. The Lord shows us that that hate is the opposite of love. When he says, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So where love is absent, there remains only hate. Let's try to define hate by considering reversing the description of love that I'd given earlier. So hate is an attitude of the mind and heart, an attitude which actively refuses to reach outside oneself in order to help others. If a hateful person does reach out, it is only because he thinks he can further his own interests by doing so. Hate is focused on the inside, not on the outside. Hate regards oneself as being the greatest treasure, not others. People see love on this campus. Do they see hate? God says love is the fulfillment of the law. So if hate is the opposite of love, then hate must be the violation of the law. Every sin that we commit is an act of hatred. Hatred against God, hatred against our neighbor. We really need to realize this, lest we think too lightly of sin. Hatred is rooted in the old Adam, and we all have one. The old Adam is constantly trying to assert himself in our lives. So we need to keep on the alert, looking out for the hateful attempts of the old Adam to lead us into sin. He always tells you that you have to look out for yourself, because nobody else is going to. So if you find yourself thinking, what am I going to get out of it? That's your old Adam talking. And your old Adam is full of hate. Let's take the love chapter of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, and reverse those thoughts. Hate is impatient with others, unkind to others. Hate wants what others have and boasts in what he himself has. Hate insists on having things his own way. Hate gets irritated or resentful when others have their way. Hate rejoices in unrighteousness but not in the truth. Hate is intolerant of the faults of others, distrusts, is skeptical, and will put up with nothing. You hear that, and I think every one of us can come up with examples of hate in our lives. Our love is not perfect, and never will be in this life. That's why we need a Savior. Jesus is the perfect example of love. There was absolutely no hate in his life until he was hanging on the cross, and then all the hateful acts of all mankind were heaped upon him. And so when God looked down and saw him on the cross, God saw the most hateful person in all the world, and God abandoned him. Jesus suffered the punishment for the sins that we have committed. So now, with a risen and ascended Lord, we know that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees us as having no stain of hatred because we have been cleansed of it all in the blood of Christ. So we are urged now by the Lord to put down hateful thoughts and words and actions. You're going to find them arising because you're old Adam, but they will not dominate the life of a Christian. Through repentance and forgiveness, the new man, always loving, will arise and love will dominate. And that's why people see love on this campus. We pray. Lord, lead us to hate what you hate and to love what you love. Amen. Hymn 439, verses 1, 2, and 3.